Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. This is where you'll meet experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you to help you be your most successful best too. Your host, Deb Scott, is a certified professional coach at Discover the Amazing You Coaching and author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. The Best People We Know radio show brings you powerful resources, effective ideas, and transformational tools you can use to educate, inspire, and motivate you to be your most purposeful, peaceful, happy best. So get ready to experience mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. Good change is about to happen. The Best People We Know radio show. Here's your host, Deb Scott.
Oh, good morning to the best people I know out there. That would be us. Thank you so much for joining us today, being part of our family. Our topic is one that you can all want, how to live an awesome life with Polly Campbell. Oh, my goodness. This is going to be unbelievable because it's going to shift your perspective and you're going to find so many ways of looking at your life that you never thought of before. So I know you're going to enjoy the show. I just want to remind you, if you follow us or have a free page on Blog Talk Radio, you can do that. Just hit the blue button on the left, and then you'll get all of our updates. You can also go to my website, debscott.com, sign up for the monthly Mind Vitamin News, and you'll get a listing of all of our great guests, which we have a ton of, and you can listen on replay free 24/7. You want to find Polly at imperfectspirituality.com, imperfectspirituality.com, because we're not going to be able to cover it all today, and I know you're going to want to connect with her. She has so many resources. If you don't know who Polly is, she is a motivational speaker. She's written three books, best-selling books, obviously How to Live an Awesome Life, how to live well, do good, and be happy. You probably know her most well-known for Imperfect Spirituality, Extraordinary Enlightenment for Ordinary People, and How to Reach Enlightenment. She's a blogger at Psychology Today, Psych Central, The Huffington Post, The Creativity Post, and that's just to name a few. Her magazine articles on personal development topics and spiritual practices appear regularly in many other national publications. She has integrated things she writes and talks about from her own life through practical experience. And she does live with her husband and daughter in Oregon, and it is a special privilege to have you. It's an awesome awe and wonder privilege to have you with us here today sharing your shine, Polly.
It's a privilege for me. I'm excited, and I appreciate being here.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I tell you what, I love, love, love your whole idea of how to find awe and wonder in every single day, in every single moment, how it shifts us to have so much happiness. And I know that you did a lot of this from, you know, your personal stories, things that we can all relate to listening here, a traffic jam, a chronic illness, a difficult moment. But what you do is you create your experience rather than complain about your experience, and you do this through finding awe. Talk to us about this, because it's a brilliant, genius shift. I mean, talk about getting the God glasses on. I don't know what else we could
do. Good. Good. I want people to find value in this, because this is the stuff I use, and this is the stuff that works for me. I'm a working mom. You know, I'm married. I live with rheumatoid arthritis. I'm working to pay the bills and carpool and do all the things that all of us are doing. And I really was looking for a way to elevate those moments, because this is my life. My life is this routine right now. And I feel like we can go into this cycle where we notice what isn't working. And what I'm looking for is ways to notice what is working in the very same moment. Because there is bad and good. There can be joy and grief. There can be beauty and sadness all in the same moment. We are that complex. And I want to find the goodness that is in every moment. And so I started looking around. I'm a writer by profession, and I started coming across all this research about awe. They really started looking at it in the last 10 years, and they call it an elevation emotion, which means when we experience awe, it elevates our experience. It changes us in the moment. And it does a bunch of other things, too. It changes our physiology, fills us with oxytocin, which is the hormone, the chemical that wants to help us connect and nurture other people. And it also changes our physiology in a way that quells that stress response. So we're not so high strung. Our heart rate isn't as fast. So we get real physical and emotional benefits from experiencing awe. And the other thing it does, according to Stanford researchers, is it bends our perception of time. So when we are in an awe state, and even after an awe state, we are more connected to what's important in our lives. We are more likely to volunteer. We are more likely to give to other people, to help other people. Instead of that frantic, I've got to get it all done mode, after an awe experience, we have a moment where it's like, oh, right, I'm squared away now. I know what's important in this moment, and I'm going to be present in that moment. So what I found is with awe, it really goes to the root of my stress. I feel less frantic. I feel healthier. I mean, health is a major concern of mine. I have chronic illness. I feel less stressed. I feel healthier. I feel like I have more time, and I'm connecting with people in a deeper way. So that's enhancing my relationships. So to me, not only do you get the rush of feeling on the elevation of that emotion, but it also goes to the base, the essence of who we are, to help us feel better in every moment.
Well, I tell you what, who doesn't want to feel better in every moment? And,
right.
You know, I think that sometimes we get into these bad habits and we think, okay, well, just because this is the way we've been doing it, this is the way we have to do it. And what you're saying is, no, stop, put the brakes on, and let's pay attention to the good things that we can find in this, so that we're not all stressed out and frantic. And it's painful to hear you talk about rheumatoid arthritis and some other things. I'm sure somebody listening has some pain in their life. I mean, I know I do. We all have obstacles.
Sure.
Talk more about how do you find awe, and give us some examples, and then how to go through some of these exercises, which you have in the book, by the way, and let the listeners, you know, see themselves in an everyday moment of how the system you created works.
Yeah, I have a lot of exercises in the book because, as you talk about, this is a practice. You know, I don't wake up just feeling blissed out every day. I wake up and my body hurts, and I have work stress or whatever it is. And yes, we all have obstacles and adversity, and we are going to continue to have obstacles and adversity. And that's the way life goes. That's nobody's fault, and there's nothing to blame in that. But within those moments, you can find the goodness. We are prone to seek out the negative. It's called a negativity bias, and our brains are actually wired to find that as an ancient form of protection, so we wouldn't eat the red berry.
Yeah, what is that? I have to pause you. What is up with that? Why do we do
that?
It's, you know, it's like, hello, okay, God, let's have a little bit of a discussion here about why that
I know,
would be
we can
the natural tendency.
Way now. Give us a break. I feel like that, too. I'm not being chased by lions, so why do I have to be looking for them all the time, you know?
Exactly. Okay.
We can override that with this stuff. And you know, at U.S., this is moment to moment. So one thing that happened to me, you know, a couple days ago is I was rushing out to the car, and I was late to get my daughter, and I was freaking out and all of this. And I was on my third trip because when I'm in that state, I forget what I need. You know, I forgot my purse. I forgot what the other stuff I needed. I turned around to head back into the house just upset. And in the little red flower next to the bush in along our window, I saw a hummingbird. And you know, the silvery blue chest and in the red flower. And in that moment, instead of walking on, I thought, this is an awe moment. And I stopped a beat. I stood there for 15 seconds, and I just took it in. I just took in the hummingbird. And that can be true, too. It's a beautiful, awesome moment right in the middle of this chaos. And so I am training myself through practice, you know, day, moment by moment, to find the moments of goodness and to sit with them for 15 or 30 seconds. And what we know, when we savor the moment of our lives, then we actually start to override that negativity bias. Fred Bryant and Rick Hansen, Fred Bryant at Loyola in Chicago, has found that when we take in the good emotion and savor it and realize where it's coming from and what we're feeling, we actually create new neural pathways in our brain that tend to allow us to see more positive things. So in time, we actually create a new experience for ourselves. So in the morning when I wake up all hurting and tired, I waddle out of bed and I go get my cup of coffee. And every morning I sit there in the quiet of the house and I have that first sip of coffee, and it's like a major event. I love coffee. I love that quiet time in the morning, and I take it in. I don't just drink it on my way to do something else. I pause there, and I have that first sip, and I connect with that. That is savoring the goodness. So no matter what else comes in my day, I get those pockets of goodness. And to find awe like this, to find the goodness in these moments, you have to intend it, seek it out, and savor it. So my intention is I'm going to look for the good. And I have a chime on my phone that goes off every hour to remind me to be mindful and look for it. I work this stuff because I'm too busy and too type A. I would go on and just get so caught up in whatever issues I'm dealing with that I will forget that at the very same time I have an opportunity to see this beauty or feel this love or have this taste or whatever it is. So I really challenge myself. I put it on my to-do list. I intend to find this. And then when I do discover it, you know, on my hourly chime or the hummingbird surprise or whatever it is, I take it in and I sit with it for 15 and 30 seconds. And it seems like a lifetime, you know. But 15 seconds to change our brains and our lives, 15 seconds to uplift the moment. And that's what I'm going for, because I don't know where I'm going to be 5 years from now. But I know if I make this moment feel better, the next one's going to be a little better, and the next one after that. And at the end of the day, you can have this big day of all these little great moments that you created along the way.
I love this, Polly, because isn't it true when we think about our life, each moment is what makes our life up until this very moment where we're all here talking together, listening to your wisdom on the Best People We Know show. And, you know, the book, when you explain it so easily and you give a step-by-step practical that we can all see ourselves in, and I think that, you know, I love the whole quote-unquote successful sabotage, you know, how you have your phone on a ringer to remind you to do this. And those things were worth it. But you also, you know, you talk about looking for the authenticity. And I think that that's what our society is starving for individually with our inside ourselves, inside our society. You know, we all want to be loved. We don't want to put a gun to someone's head that says, you know, tell me I love you. You know, you want authenticity. And you have one of the things, I'll just take it out of the book, that you said here, authenticity isn't always convenient or polished or even polite. Plenty of people aren't even going to like you for who you are. That's okay. You can love yourself through the less than moments and use them to become more self-aware. And then you have these quick steps. Number one, pay attention to that emotion. You know, I think we get so busy we don't even know what we're feeling. Observe the thoughts, you know, what's coming up. There's no right or wrong. Just observe yourself as a third person. Press the pause. Stop the blame. And then start again. How, I know that you're constantly writing about this, you're learning new ways to do it, but what are some of the payoffs? I mean, I think that you say, hey, look, I've proven to myself that this works because I feel greater peace. I feel a sense of purpose. So I'd love to have you share with the listeners some of the other things that they need, they can do in every day to find, okay, what is the awe, what is the wonder, how do you find it, and how does this make your life awesome, more fulfilling, and more peaceful, you know, in some of these, I think the everyday situations, like you said, sipping the cup of coffee, wow, I'm just experiencing it with you, just listening to you say it.
You know, Deb, that's a really important point that you make, because one thing that we know about awe is that when we are in an awe state, we want to share our experience with others because it feels good, and we want to share it with the people that we want to connect with, and they get to feel it too. The other thing that's interesting about awe is, and in fact, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about another experience. The other thing that happens with awe is one way to access it, if you don't see it right now, is go back to a time when you did see it. You know, you can daydream about an awesome experience. You can journal about it, and you can recoup those feelings. You can feel that again. And it's like gratitude or the other success strategies. When you start to pay attention to this stuff, you begin to seek it out. You begin to see it everywhere. And start with you. You know, what you said about authenticity, I think for me, authenticity is freedom. You know, so much of our lives we spend trying to fit in, trying to be a certain way, get the job, look a certain way. And when you decide that how you are is how you are, that frees up all that energy to then go create your experience. So when you bring that in with awe, one way I do that is every time you go to look in the mirror, brush your teeth, do your morning routine, whatever it is, take a minute and be in an awe state about you. And I'm not saying, you know, because so often we go, and oh, look at the gray in the hairs, we're combing it out, or we see our teeth are crooked or yellow, or we see something on a wrinkle we don't like, or a pimple, and we start to focus in on those things. Well, at the very same time, the eyes we are using to see those things are working. That is an, think about what happens in our body to make us this. And if you can, if you do that, you will bring awe into your life in every moment. Because I have wrinkles around my mouth, but I realize that's the mouth that smiles with, and that's the mouth that kisses my daughter. And that's the mouth that gets to cry when I'm feeling hurt. And that's it, you know. And I feel like it's all right in front of us. We just have to tweak our way of knowing. And starting with you is a powerful way. And when I talk about starting over, you know, I wrote the book, And of course, I want people to love the book, and not everyone loves the book. And so every time I get an uncomfortable moment like that, I take in criticism or somebody's upset or a situation doesn't go like I want, I sit back in that moment and say, okay, so now I get to know myself better because I can either change this because perhaps my friends or family or whoever it is make a good point and I can learn and grow and become more of myself, or I can decide that what they're wanting from me is out of alignment with my values and stay the way I am. And so either way, I get to choose me because the world is full of illuminating moments where I get to grow and grow more into myself. But there's also a few times when people have been critical and I've wanted to change and I felt that discomfort and I decided, nope, this is what I'm bringing. This is true to who I am, and it is unpopular, but not with me. And when I get to make that decision, when I become an active creator, then I feel more solid even when the criticism is coming down. Then I'm more clear because I know I'm aligning with me, and that's always easier and more freeing than the other.
I'm so energized just listening to you give each one of us the power to choose for our own life. And the beauty, I think, of this is that we can all do it. It's not taking, you know, hours to do. It's just a mind shift. And, you know, it's almost like when I'm listening to you, okay, and why aren't we doing this more often?
What
excuse me, like, why didn't I try this before? I just want to read some of the chapters to just the titles so that the listeners can get an understanding of the awesome awareness they're going to have. And then I'd love for you to share maybe which one of these chapters was your most favorite to write, or which one of these chapters you hear a lot of your readers saying, you know, this really was my favorite part of it. I mean, it's all good, but I want to just have you share with us about that. So for people that are looking to get the book, which you should, How to Live an Awesome Life by Polly, the first chapter is Becoming Aware of Awesome. Chapter 2 is Creating Your Experience. Chapter 3, Getting Real. Chapter 4, Pushing Your Potential. Chapter 5, Going for It. Then Living with Passion and Purpose. Chapter 6, I have a lot of people that always ask that, Living with Passion and Purpose. Chapter 7, Tapping into the Energy of Awesome. 8, Failing with Panache. See, failing, it's all the same thing.
I was seeing falling, too. I'm looking at also, and I saw falling. I'm like, did I type that wrong?
No. Chapter 9, Accessing the Awesome of Others. Chapter 10, Creating an Atmosphere of Awesome, because wherever you go, there you are. Chapter 11, The Awesome Uncertainty, and Chapter 12, Living an Awesome Life, you really reframe and manage expectations. And I was listening to you talk about the wrinkles, and I was thinking, I love quotes on Twitter. I'm always quoting, sending a ton of quotes on Twitter. And I came across this one quote: I'm always looking for the positive, to be grateful. For example, I'm thankful that wrinkles don't cause pain. I mean, it was like, I don't know who said that,
yeah,
but I was like, okay, that kind of that says a lot. All right, so yeah, do you have a favorite chapter or one that was more, you know, that was more difficult for you to write or more energized? I mean, tell us something about.
The passion and purpose one is popular with many of the readers. That question comes up for me a lot, too. And also the failing chapter and the awesome uncertainty. And the uncertainty chapter really talks about how to use this stuff in the less than moments, in the moments when we feel scared and all of that. For me, the absolute hardest chapter to write was pushing your potential. I write about goals in that chapter. I write about what potential is, and it's a pretty intangible thing, you know, and I don't believe it like I was taught it. So I think I had some real challenge there learning about that, and everything I write about is also based in research. I have studies to back it up, but I needed to learn my own way on that. And what I mean is, everybody talked to me when I was growing up like, you know, you got to live your potential. And I felt like it was someplace I had to get, some tapped out place. And what I know now is that's not the case. We have the now potential, which means I hope I'm living the biggest I can in this moment with the skills I have right now. But I can tell you that 10 minutes from now, after this talk, I'm going to have new skills and new insights that I'm going to take forward into the next moment. And that creates a new now potential. So I believe that we are people that are always taking in this information and these growth opportunities. And if we use them, our now potential is different from moment to moment. It's bigger and expanded. If we engage and explore and create in this life, our potential is unlimited. So it's no longer a mark that I worry about hitting. I just worry about maxing out with the skill set that I have right now and paying attention. So I had to learn that about myself as I was writing.
Well, you know, I really, I'm listening to you and I'm like, wow, this is hard to even conduct the radio show because it's just, I'm feeling so much energy, just, you know, tapping into your energy.
I get excited about it.
I love it. And, you know, the other part of me, it must be the old biology, in college I was a biology major, and I love that you back everything up with the science and make us understand, okay, this is the issue, this is what's going on in your body, this is what's causing you things that you don't want, this is what you can get, and this is how to do it, and here's some studies to back up, you know, what's really going on. And I think that anytime we understand something, it takes the fear out of it, and that is energizing as well.
Everything we put in our bodies, our food and our thoughts, change the chemical makeup of our bodies. So if that's changing, even without us thinking about it, of course it's going to change some physical outcome, some emotional outcome. So what I'm working to do is be more aware of that so that I can create the changes that I want. The one, you know, if I can choose my thoughts, why would I pick one that's not helpful to me? And a lot of that stuff, then I forget about because I go on in the chaos of my day or I get busy with a stress or an illness or whatever it is. So the other part of the science of this for me is that I have to create the habit. It's like a workout. It's like I brush my teeth twice a day. I floss every day. I intend to find awe every day. Or I intend to get, you know, I do my gratitude exercise every day. Or whatever it is. This is part of my self-maintenance program. And that is the only way I've been able to maintain it and do it in my life. And when I do it, because I have to remind myself to do it, and when it happens, it's now becoming a part of who I am, and it just, it's there for you when everything else has fallen apart. Then these things kick in. It's like, right, oh, yeah, there's that hummingbird. I am so glad I saw that hummingbird. And it just changed the whole mood of the day. It changed the whole moment. I was less reactive. I was more connected with other people. I felt better about myself. It just changed it in an instant. And so this stuff has real payoffs for you when you create a lifestyle around it.
Mm. Yeah, well, I tell you what, this is, I think if we each created a lifestyle around this, the world would be a much better place. And one of the things that I really love that you touch on, and it's always, it's noticeable in listening to you and in reading your work, and you have that great blog at, you know, Psych Central and all that. Instead of looking for the happiness or the validation from something outside yourself, from does this person do what I want them to do, why do they do things that upset me, or why don't I have this, or why can't I have this, or compare and despair, you know, you take it out of the external and say, no, that control exists within you. And each moment, even your example of this moment, that we're talking right now, we're not the same person that we were in the moment when we first started our time together talking.
Mm-hmm.
And that everything is changing, and managing and reframing that expectation, I think one of the things, one of the payoffs for me is, okay, let go of the regret. I wish I had done this or didn't do this in the past, but I wasn't that person then. What did I learn? I don't know what I would have been like or how much better I am with or without that experience, because we don't know. Do you find that people talk to you about, you know, letting go of the past? Do you find that regret, releasing regret, is part of what we need to do in living an awesome life?
Absolutely, and for me too. I mean, letting go is a huge practice of mine right now, because I'm not very good at it. I hold on too long. You know, this stuff isn't going to make you feel great every moment. This is not going to keep the troubles away. Things are going to come down. But I'm interested in what we do in that moment, because in that very same moment, there can be a piece of you that's hurting and another piece of you that's saying, all right, what am I going to get from this? How am I going to transcend this? What can I learn from this? And when we put ourselves in this creative place, this awe state, we are able to move through those difficulties with a little more grace, because we have a little more awareness about those things. And with that awareness, we can let go. We can be self-compassionate. We can be forgiving of ourselves, of others. We can see that so much of life is happening. It's nobody's fault. It's so much is setting up. You know, the sun comes up every day without our involvement. A lot of other things go on without our involvement. So can we be present to that without either shouldering all the responsibility for what's going on, or without placing the blame on somebody else? Can we be present to what is? And when we are, we can let go of those regrets and those difficulties. We can be more forgiving, but we can also get something from it that is going to carry us into the next moment in an easier, more graceful way. And, you know, that's it. I want to feel better right now. I'm hoping I live for another 100 years. But if I don't, I want to max out this moment. And this moment sometimes is really hard and really scary and really difficult and really uncertain. And what I'll remind people is the same uncertainty that feels scary and hard now is also the same uncertainty that took you from heartbreak to love again. It took you from sickness to health. It took you from not having children to having a child, or not having your dream job to having your dream job. Uncertainty is all the gifts in our life as well. It brings us the growth and the things we adore most of all. And so we can focus on those changes and that uncertainty as a way of possibility instead of oh, I'm worried about what might happen. We can say, oh, I wonder what's going to happen, and take that attitude of exploration. And it will just enough change this moment so that you can go into the next one a little more creative and a little more open and a little less regretful.
Wow, I love that. Okay, folks, you heard it here. Boy, oh boy. you know, you have a lot of psychological studies, obviously, that back up everything that you say. Did you have one that surprised you, or how did you research those studies? And was there one that you thought was particularly, was an awe moment for you? Like, wow, I can't believe that study showed that.
Yeah, I'm always amazed by all of them, you know, because I get a sense about something or something that I'm interested in learning more about, and then I'll come across somebody else was interested in learning more about that, and they talk to thousands of people about this. And the one that really still strikes me, and I mentioned it today, is the one about time, about how when we are connected to a higher energy, it changes how we experience each other and how we experience our time, because that is something I've felt. I've had moments where I felt like a little crazy because it seemed like all of a sudden everything just fell away. And I, you know, a grand insight, like, oh, right, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. And so when I read that others have that experience, that time changes, time stops or slows so that we can take in this color in our life, that really touched me because I think we all know that feeling. And it's not just that we're making it up or that we're being Pollyannish or, you know, I think sometimes positive psychology stuff gets a bad rap. And the bottom line is there's science and physiology and biology and chemistry to back up all this stuff. And that really made sense to me because I've felt that in my body before.
Mm. Yeah, and I don't know what study it was that even, you know, a kind act will, you know, create that, whatever
yes.
it is, the serotonin and all those levels. But that
yeah.
not even being in the act or doing the act yourself, even seeing a picture of an act, of someone doing a kind act, will give you that benefit. I mean, there's so many things that it's just the more you talk and the things that you write about, it just makes me want to discover myself more and realizing that for each one of us right now listening, there's a lot of power. Talk about potential. You know, there's a
yeah.
lot of power that we have that, you know, we don't necessarily think about it, that the everyday mainstream media or whoever, they don't talk about that. It's like really an explosion of potential. And I love that whole thing with time, because I know for myself, when I'm doing something I enjoy a lot or I feel that, you know, there's a meaning to something greater than myself, I do lose that sense of time. But when you're doing something you don't want to do, it's like, oh, it seems to go on forever. That's why
right?
vacations always seem to go faster, right? So,
yep.
you know, it is true. And I think that we can each see ourselves in these things. And it's really amazing because all of these things, what you talk about, it's like, okay, that makes such good common sense. You
yeah.
know, that makes
and
good
when,
common
when I'm
sense.
Talking- What I'm talking to other people and the feedback I'm getting is just exactly what you said, that people come to these appearances or the lectures or whatever it is, or buy the book and then I hear letters from them, where they're feeling stuck in their lives. And then they're reminded. It's just a reminder, right? You guys all know this. They're reminded who they are, and who they are is this dynamic, organic, fluid, energetic being that has the power to really create any experience moment to moment. And that doesn't mean that, like I said, that it's all going to come at you easy peasy. But within the difficulty, you have the moment to say, okay, wow, I feel a little uncomfortable here. I'm going to work with that. I'm going to learn that. This is about deliberate living. And when you're living deliberately, you get to choose what you eat, you get to choose what you watch on TV, you get to choose on the thoughts you put in your mind, and that's where your power is. You know, if I can do this stuff, I'm telling you what, anyone can do this stuff, you know. I have the same challenges and experiences that everyone else has, but I've created a habit around these things that are designed to empower me because there's more I want to do in the world, and that's just a choice that I'm making, you know. And the altruism study that you brought up, I think, is a great point. Is one little kind act or even watching somebody else be kind changes who you are. It changes who you are. So imagine, and incidentally, it changes 50 people out. So your kind act will, they've done research on the ripple effect of this, the emotional contagion. It actually reaches 50 people out. So people you have never met and will never meet will be impacted by your kindness. And 30 seconds of kindness in your life will change your life. So this has to be easy stuff for me. I'm doing all the stuff that everybody else is. But when I remember that, the first thing I do is run out and do an act of kindness, and it changes the world. I think those little moments are the things that are going to make the biggest impact on a world as a whole as well.
You know, that is really amazing. Think of that, everybody. 50 people out. Wow, that makes me want to think about what I'm doing. Because so many times I hear people, oh, well, it, you know, it can't matter. It's that starfish story. Oh, it doesn't matter to all those starfish. They don't get in the water. There's too many of them.
Yeah.
Why even bother? But what you're saying is, No, 50 people out, your ripple effect. It's, we forget that it's not only what we do right now, but what we do with that seed and how it grows in the garden of our life with all the people that we meet in everyday living. And that is, that to me demands and begs that we take responsibility, that it's not just the All About Me show because I want to feel better.
Right.
It's, you know what? My actions have consequences for me and how I feel, but it also has consequences in my family, in my work, in all the people that I love and care about and don't even know yet. That is really mind-boggling to me, and I have to thank you for all of the research that you've done, because the book is so well written and it's outlined so easy to understand, and it does make a difference. And you know, one of the things I hear in your voice, and it's in your writing as well, is that you have a sense of humor, and you talk about that
fun.
In the book. Yeah,
it's going to be
it's got to be fun. Talk to the listeners a little bit about, you know, how to take an experience and find the humor in it, because seriously, here's another one of those quotes, you know, that I saw somewhere on social media, you know, when things don't go the way you want, just say plot twist, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
I use it in my work, so every time something goes haywire, I'm like, excuse me, I'm going to go to the bathroom and make notes now, because that is going in the next book. Everything's material, and everything's material for your life, and I feel like I'm living in a big sitcom sometimes, you know? I cannot believe the things that happen in my marriage or with my daughter, and a lot of times, it's the absurdity that really that makes me, it's the mystery of the world that inspires me and gets me excited, because I read all this stuff, I do the research, I practice it, and sometimes it all just falls apart. You have to stand up and laugh, and you have to be grateful for the mystery in the world that allows things to come into it like that, so that we don't know everything, because how boring would that be? So I find humor everywhere, and sometimes I have to go look for it. Like, for instance, one of the exercises I have in the book I do myself is I have a soundtrack. So I have different soundtracks for different moments, and one of my soundtracks has Barry Manilow on it. And I just get fired up when I listen to that Barry Manilow song, and I laugh because I know that, you know, most of my friends do not have Barry on their soundtrack, and I feel inspired. And I just laugh at myself, and I revel in a place where I can now pull up any piece of music I want in 15 seconds and be listening to it. You know, that's amazing. I laugh and do silly poems with my daughter. When she was younger, I was just so tired of feeding her. She had to eat all the time. And so I decided to look at that differently and see that, you know, instead of a chore, I was actually nourishing her. And so during that time, I'd make up like Dr. Seuss kind of songs and laugh at myself. It's only for my own entertainment. Nobody else finds me this hilarious. But I have a good time. And I have to remember that that's part of it, too. You know, I have had difficult moments in doctor's offices, and one, I was meditating, and I fell asleep, and that cracks me up, you know, like, oh, my God, I really got relaxed, you know. So I think you look for the little moments, and you give yourself a little smile, and you take a minute to take it in, and you know what, part of this for me is a do-over, too, because most of the things that make me laugh are my own screw-ups, and then I get up and I start over, because I'm human, I am not going to get this right, and I'm okay, I'm learning to be okay with that, so up. All right, do over, plot twist, like you said. Do over, start again, and that's a reset button for me to forgive and smile and move on.
I wanted to read something for people that you wrote that I think is another. I mean, everything's beautiful, but to see and savor and create and appreciate the awe that threads through our lives. We must get after it. We must actively practice the things that will draw it into our conscious experience. This is where things get practical. We stop thinking and we start doing and being the things that illuminate the awesome. Here, we let the drama of life ease into acceptance and let the sadness be uplifted by the beauty and love that are there too. You know, how gentle and loving is a life, you know, with that mantra behind it. It really is, you know, it's so simple. It's it's crazy. I mean, you make it so simple that it's like anything else in our natural tendency. Oh, that can't work because it's too easy, you know?
Right.
Well, yeah, it is. That's exactly how it is designed to be. And
yeah.
Once you start doing these things and getting around people and this little bit of change, you know, that 5 degrees off course, if you keep doing it, will get you 105 degrees off
yeah.
course. And the same is true in reverse. You start, you know, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with that single step. And if we do these things that you talk about, that you courageously share from your own personal experience of what's worked for you, and not work for you, it's like recipes, you know? It's like, okay, put a pinch of this,
yeah.
a pinch of that, and look what comes out. It just tastes. It's like the experienced chef can take a recipe and make something so much more delicious than I might try at home. And that's kind of what you are, you know? You're like the personal baker to creating that great life that is just tasting so delicious. You know, I want to thank you. I don't know what it just came. It's like, you know, because you were talking about flavors and you really engage
yeah.
the five senses in your work. And I'm a visual learner, but I also, you know, that emotional push to me makes something more powerful. Because
yeah.
it's not just reading your words. I think it's experiencing for each one of us these words in our life.
You know, and I hope so. I don't think life is to be figured out. I think it's to be experienced. And I think it's to show up and engage and try things and live boldly and laugh hard. And I think beauty and all this is all around us. It's just right there. We just don't always know. I'll give you an example. I baked from scratch. I'm not a baker, so I baked from scratch, which meant I dumped the dough out on the cookie sheet, you know, the pre-made stuff.
Mm.
And my daughter came home from school, and I'm not a baker, and so this was going to be a special treat, and I had a cookie there on a plate for her. She had a bad day at school, and she came stomping in and walked right by the cookie. And then she walked right by it again, stomping and throwing a fit about what happened. And she did that 3 times, and finally I put the cookie away. She missed the sweetness because she was so focused on what wasn't working. So the next day, I brought the cookie back out, put it on the same part of the counter. She came in from school, and the first thing she saw was the cookie. She had a better day at school. There was sweetness in her life, so she was open to it. And what I want to do in my life, and I want others to do, because I think it will change the world for all of us, is I want them to see the sweetness that's there all the time. I want them to find the cookie on the counter, the sweetness that is there even in the moments of a bad day at school. And when we do, we can transcend it. And it is, you know, it is easy stuff because we are given this planet and this opportunity, and the beauty is all around us. We just have to go grab it. We have to go see it and smell it and taste it and feel it. And when we do that, it comes alive in our lives.
Mm. Wow, what a great example with the cookie.
Yeah,
and it seems so tragic, too. I'm listening to you, and
it
I'm
was.
Like, oh, that's so
tragic. I wanted
tragic
to give her the cookie, but then I decided to see, you know. It was a great example for me.
Oh, my gosh, you are too funny. Well, I love this whole conversation we've had, and I know that people want to get more of you and connecting with you and the shine that you share. So where can people get the book, and how do you want them to connect with you once again? Because we got to have more of you, Polly.
Oh, come get it, and let me know what you think about it. You can get the book at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your neighborhood bookstore. Come to my website at imperfectspirituality.com. And from there, you can also link to the book or Facebook me at Polly Campbell or Imperfect Spirituality, Twitter at PL Campbell. I'm everywhere. If you go to imperfectspirituality.com, you'll be able to link to me. And I would love feedback. I like to know how people are using the stuff in their life because I think it's a game changer for all of us.
I know it is. It's brilliant. And, you know, you've definitely, thank you, and God continue to bless you by you sharing your talents and your gifts because you are having a positive ripple effect. It's obvious. It's obvious. So remember that in your
thank
day.
You.
And I always ask the listeners, you know, and this is how we keep going and growing, so I can bring them great guests with wisdom like you. That's something that I trust, because I never have a guest on that I don't believe in the work that they do. But I always ask them to share the show, because if they can share it, and social media is so great for this. You know, you can send out a tweet, you can post it on Facebook, you can talk to a friend about it, you can get the book, you can do so many different things. And again, those can be your little volunteer acts of kindness, because it doesn't cost a lot, but it makes a difference. And somebody who may be having a really down day, like your daughter, like, you know, that they just can't see how great the cookies are right there on the counter, you know, this show, your book, can change everything for them. And in that one moment, life is forever changed. You know, I just really, really love the work that you're doing, and I want to thank you again for being here
and taking
so much time out of your day to be here. Do you have a favorite quote? You have a lot of quotes in the book, so I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I just have to ask before we go.
You know, I cannot remember what it is, but it's the one by, well, I like them all. I picked them. I like the one by Nelson Mandela. There's no passion to be found in playing small, in settling for a life that is less than the one you are capable of living. Because I think this is really, I think knowing that we are capable of handling whatever comes rises us up. And that's something I remember when I go forward. I also like the one from Ellen about failure, and I can't remember what it is, but if people look it up in the book, I know that one made sense to me also. In the
listeners the gist of it. It doesn't have to be verbatim.
It's basically that's how we grow. It's only by failure that we know, that we know what we need to do next, you know. It's failure that gives you the proper perspective on success. And I think that's right. It reminds us what we're after and what we're capable of, and keeps us going. It can be a motivator.
Well, thank you for motivating me and all of the listeners. I love it. And on that note, I'll just ask everybody, get out there, connect with Polly, get that book, How to Live an Awesome Life, and go to imperfectspirituality.com, and you'll find some amazing resources that she has there for you. And avalanche blessings to you, Miss Polly. Thank you very, very much for being here.
Thank you. Privilege.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Best People We Know radio show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking, and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know radio show.